Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or The Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to the podcast. As always, I hope you had a wonderful weekend. And today I am incredibly excited, delighted, and honored to bring to you Sarah Baldwin, who is, wait for it, okay, this is relevant to every single one of us on planet Earth. Anybody who's had nervous system issues, had trauma issues, she's a somatic experiencing practitioner, polyvagal trained, trauma-informed life coach, and somatic inner child trained practitioner. Wow. That is a lot, and you are amazing. So, Sarah, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It is so good to be here with you. And for everyone listening, thank you for your time.
I was telling Sarah that I saw her because Sarah was interviewed by Sherry Salata, and I was scrolling on Instagram. I was like, wait, who's that? What does she do? Oh my gosh, I've got to have her on our podcast to talk to our audience. So tell us a little bit about, you know, I said a lot about what you do. Kind of give us the executive summary of what you do and tell us how you got into this with your own background and childhood.
Sure. So I'm a somatic practitioner. Essentially, that means I'm helping folks address what's happening in our body. And so most of the struggles in our lives are informed by things from our past that have not been healed or fully resolved. So when we're struggling today, it's certainly about some of the external things happening today, but more often than not, it is really informed by things from the past. So I help folks to resolve those things in the past in order to bring change in our present lives. And so the overarching, when I say somatics, because that's usually a new term for lots of folks, essentially it's addressing how you feel, the sensations in your body, the behaviors that you're experiencing, and how you perceive yourself, others, and the world around you. We have inside of us something called an autonomic nervous system. It lives in our bodies, so that's called subcortical, not connected to our cognitive thinking brain. And the autonomic nervous system, it floors me. I've probably said this 10,000 times, but it is a system that lives inside of us that is responsible for our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors, the sensations we have, the way we perceive ourselves, others, in the world around us. It is literally responsible for our entire experience. And we learn about outer space, and yet no one teaches us about this system within us that if we don't have control over, it is like going on autopilot. And so much of the time, we don't know how to change our experience because we don't know about the system that's running our experience. So I teach people about this system within us, and then I teach them how to gain control over it. And in the process, we bring healing to the past and change our relationships, our internal experience, and our life as a whole.
Wow, it sounds like magic, truly, what you're doing.
Kind of is magic. I mean, it's neuroscience, but it's also the most magical, extraordinary, you know, thing that I've personally ever experienced and walked thousands of people through too.
Amazing. And how does one, what calls one to get into this line of work?
So I have a complex trauma history. Essentially, that means that I had significant trauma that happened perpetually over my entire childhood. So I was sexually abused inside my home for many years. And then also had, and of course, that means I had a very unsafe home and a narcissistic mother and just lots of very extensive trauma. And which meant I dissociated from most of my childhood, which means I wasn't present to it and didn't remember it for a long time. To the point where like I had to, you know, get myself to school when I was six by myself and teach myself to read. We also grew up in poverty. So there's just lots of complexities to the trauma. And when I became, went to school, or after school, actually, I was not doing well, during the whole process of growing up, but also in my college years, just really suffering. I was suicidal. I, couldn't get out of bed. I was chronically ill, had so many autoimmune diseases, Crohn's disease, colitis, fibromyalgia, all are very common when you have trauma history. I would have panic attacks. Didn't know how I got places. I was that dissociated. Like I would show up and someone would say, "How'd you get here?" And I wouldn't know. And was just really living hell. This is really what I would describe trauma as, the aftermath of trauma. It's never really the experiences themselves that are the most painful. It's how it leaves us. So I started my healing journey and I sought out everything that I could find. I went to lots of talk therapists, and there's nothing, which is what most people are familiar with. So there's benefit to talk therapy or mindset work. But when it comes to addressing things like your nervous system, trauma, so that means if you're anxious, you cannot talk your way out of it. If you're depressed, you can't talk your way out of that. If you're stressed out, can't talk your way out of that either. Can't talk your way out of being frozen in your life. You also can't talk your way into a healthy attachment, which is why people read the book like Attached and they're like, "Oh my God, I have so many aha moments right now. I have an anxious attachment. I get what's happening in my dynamic." But then you get into an argument in your relationship and guess what happens? Your partner pulls away and shuts down, and then you get anxious and you feel like you have to fix the thing, or vice versa. And we need to get back into connection, and I can't think about anything else until we resolve this. And you keep pulling further away, and that's just making me more panicky, and I feel like I'm going to die and not be okay. So all of that's happening in our nervous system. So I was seeking out, I had no relationship. I couldn't really have relationships. I tried, but it felt like there was an invisible wall keeping me from the life I wanted. I couldn't shift the shame I was experiencing. I couldn't shift any of it. And then I found somatic work. And what I realized is, oh, I've been trying to cognitively rationalize my way into things that cannot be cognitively or rationally shifted, because our nervous system does not speak a verbal language. So when I said subcortical living in our bodies, it only understands, it's sort of like I'm speaking Mandarin to a system that speaks English. It can't compute, which is why if anyone's ever been on a date and you feel like you're going to have a panic attack and you told yourself like, "Don't have a panic attack," and then you kind of do, because your system can't understand you. So then I found somatic work and my life started to change. And I went from, waking up on streets, not knowing how I got there, to healing my body and healing my life and then realizing like, oh, whoa, this is such a niche in my field, and it should really be the front foremost thing that is presented to folks when they go on Psychology Today, because it's the thing that, if we're not regulated, it causes us unhappiness. So I think one of the number one reasons for unhappiness after not having our primary needs of shelter and food met is a dysregulated nervous system. You can have all the things in the life you want. You could have the partner you want. But if you don't have regulation in your nervous system, you can't enjoy them.
Does anybody have a regulated nervous system?
So, but here's the definition of what regular.
I mean, just coming out of our homes as kids, right? That's because I'm thinking about it, and I know my client base at Smart Dating Academy, right? We've got anxious, we have avoidance, and it flips, and they read Attached, and they're like, "Oh, I get this." I'm like, knowledge is not power; execution is power. So you and I are speaking very much the same language of that operating system. So we all have little T or big T trauma, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. No one taught our parents how to parent. And so many people, you might not have had a history like mine. I had very bad, dangerous people around me. But I would say a lot of people had good, loving parents. Yeah. And those loving parents, nobody taught them how to parent. So if you had a loving parent who was traumatized in some way, what the parent usually does is they try to do a better job than was done to them, but they don't know actually how to do a better job. So if they didn't experience intimacy in their home as a child, meaning no one really saw them and they weren't safe to, be seen in their experience and their emotions because their parents didn't know how to do that, then guess what happens when we get into relationships? It's challenging for us to experience those things. So yeah, there's no... there's no parent that gets it 100% right, which means we're left with having to address the things they got wrong. And those things that they got wrong are all experienced in your body. And so the healing of them, like cognitive information is helpful, but it is not the answer. We have to, what do we do about that information? That's what's important.
Right. And so somatic healing is about the body. I love everything you're saying. It's so resonant. You know, primarily, I would say, let's dig in a little bit and talk about, you know, if you're out in the dating world, if you're single, like, can you tell us a little bit about what you see in general with singles and maybe some things that we can do somatically that can help us?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I think the best thing to do is just introduce everybody to your nervous system. It's inside of you and it's running right now, whether you know
it or not. Hi, nervous system. Nice to meet you. And you're responsible for my entire experience. I love what you said. It's like the operating system.
It's the operating system. Every choice you've ever made is dependent on what's happening in your nervous system. Can you believe that?
I mean, dang, like, Sarah.
In every third grade class, it should be. And because the world would be really different if that was the case. But the good news is it's never too late. And I say to parents, like, this is the best thing you can do for them because a regulated nervous system regulates a nervous system. So anyway, we have this nervous system within us. And I think of it kind of like a special ops team. And the reason I call it that is because a special ops team is the best of the best. Very hard to get on a special ops team. There's many different members with different jobs, but they have one primary mission and purpose. So your nervous system is the same way. There's many members. They all have different jobs. They're the best of the best. So much so they've evolved over the past 500 million years to keep you safe and alive. And so they all have different jobs, but one purpose. And the only purpose, their primary purpose, is to make sure that you stay alive at all costs. That's your nervous system's job. And it loves you so much, it will do that. It will never let you down. So for single folks, you're probably like, what does this have to do with my dating life? It has everything to do with your dating life.
Everything!
Because your nervous system, so this nervous system, the first line of defense in this, what I'm calling your special ops team, it's a, think of it like a threat detector. So it lives in your brainstem. This is called neuroception. And
Neuroception.
That's coined by a scientist named Stephen Porges, who is the scientist behind polyvagal theory, which is what I'm about to basically tell you about. So, brilliant scientist. So we look out this threat detector that lives in your brainstem every millisecond of our entire lives. Millisecond, that is much shorter than a second. It is literally doing this. It looks out into the world. For everyone listening, yours is doing this right now as you listen to my voice. It's saying, is that safe, dangerous, or life-threatening? Is that safe, dangerous, or life-threatening? Is that safe, dangerous, or life-threatening? Every millisecond it's doing that. Which is just, I've said this probably 10,000 times, but every time I do, I'm like, for anyone who's ever thought you're broken or you're lazy or you're not trying hard enough, you have a system that is so ferociously powerful. It has been doing that since you took your first breath. So the way that it decides what is safe, dangerous, or life-threatening is by looking to a database of past information that lives in your brain in an area called your limbic system. And think of it like a computer system. So this database has every lived experience you have ever had in there. You don't have to remember them. They're all in there. Not just your lived experience. It also has your ancestors' lived experience via term some folks may have heard referred to as epigenetics. So that's in the database too. So here's how it works. The threat detector is not looking for identical experiences. It's looking for flavorings. So anything that has similarities, that's what it's looking for. So for example, I am looking out my window right now and I see this beautiful green tree. I live in Los Angeles. It's sunny. It's so nice. And immediately my threat detector, I didn't ask it. It said, oh, that's safe. And why did it do that? Because it looked to the database and my childhood, my house wasn't safe, but I grew up in the woods. And so the woods were my only safe place. So if I see nature, my threat detector looks to the database and says, oh, what do you have on that? Oh, it's safe. So if the threat detector decides we're safe, anything you're experiencing is safe. And all everyone listening, all you have to think about is what feels good to you? Is it your dog? Is it a friend? Is it being at the ocean? Is it listening to music? Well, if it feels good, that tells me your threat detector has decided that that thing is safe. So when your threat detector decides something is safe, what it immediately does is it calls in another part of your nervous system or a special ops team member. It calls in something called your ventral vagal complex. So our ventral vagal complex is our state of regulation. So we only go here when our threat detector says we're safe. And think of it like, instead of a special ops team standing in front of me to protect me, like guarding me, it's as if the special ops team is standing at my side. So they're not guarding me. They're saying, Sarah, you're safe to be exposed. You're safe to be seen. You're safe to be known, to be heard, to take up space, to be present, to experience sensuality and sexuality and your femininity and softness and slowing down. And basically all the things in life you want to experience, you can have them when you're in ventral because we have decided you're safe. And so for anyone who's struggling, I can tell you if you're struggling, that tells me you're not spending enough time in ventral. So it's really, if we could distill down the problems of our world, it's not enough time in ventral. So when our threat detector I just mentioned, let's say it looks out into the world, and for someone who's single, it looks out into the world and your threat detector looks to, I don't know, let's say you went on a date with someone and you wrote them a text and said, oh, that was really nice, because it was really nice, and they have not responded. And it's been 12 hours, maybe even 24. And so you pick up your phone and you look at that. And guess what happens? The threat detector, because it's always working, it looks at the text and it says, they haven't responded. And then guess what it does? It goes to your database and says, what intel do we have on people not being responsive? And remember, it doesn't have to look for identical things. It's looking for similarities. So let's say you had a father who withheld love. Maybe when you got something wrong, he pulled away and withheld love. Maybe you had a mother whom you had to be a certain way in order for you to be loved. Maybe one of your parents abandoned you. And those are just some examples. So if you had maybe one of those things, then what occurs as you look at that phone and they haven't responded, feels like a pull away, your threat detector says, this is dangerous. This is like the past. Even if it's not like the past, it has enough flavoring of it. So guess what it does? In a millisecond, it says, okay, what was the ML? What did we need to do back then to be safe? Let's do the same thing now. And so it has a couple options, three parts of your nervous system that it can call in to provide you support. The first is called your sympathetic nervous system. So think of it like the system standing in front of you. And this system is all about mobilizing. Do, 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 do. Think of it like there's a lion chasing me and I am running from the lion. So everything in your body here is all about revving up energy. To give you a sense, this is where things like worry, racing thoughts, anxiety, frustration, panic, feeling sweaty, tension in your body, not being able to slow down. I think I mentioned sweating, feeling like you may have done something wrong, or maybe they did something wrong, or maybe they're mad at me. Maybe I should write this, just give you a sense of the thoughts here. Should I not have said that thing? Maybe I shouldn't have said the thing. Wait, should I write them again? Maybe I shouldn't. Oh my gosh, I thought this was going to be so great. And maybe it wasn't so great. Or then maybe we get angry. That's all your sympathetic nervous system.
And this is once we go into danger mode.
Once you go into danger mode.
Okay.
That's right. And that will be the choice, the choice state, if in my childhood, that's the state that worked. So your nervous system is going to do whatever it needed to did back then to keep you safe. It's going to do the same thing now. Like if I was parentified, which simply means I had a role reversal with my parents and I had to emotionally take care of them, then I'm going to, in this situation, I might start doing that with this person. And I go into my sympathetic state and I forget about my own needs and I just want to meet their needs. And I disregard myself to make sure that they stay and they don't leave. That's one choice, but there's two other choices. So some people might be familiar with that. There's two other choices we can have too. One is called, actually one more example. Some of you know the experience of you're in a relationship with someone. They're maybe really wonderful. But you, and cognitively, you know, they're safe and they're not going to cheat on you and you can trust them. They've done nothing to make you feel like you can't trust them, but you had a parent who cheated on the other parent and maybe left your family. So guess what's going to happen? There's no amount of rationalizing that's going to make you feel safe. When you haven't heard from them because they're working late, guess what's going to occur? Your threat detector is going to say, oh, they're cheating on you. That's what's happening right now. And it'll call in that sympathetic system. So this is all happening in a millisecond, by the way, everybody. It's not like there's any cognitive component of this. You're not making it happen. Your nervous system's doing it for you. And then just quickly, there's two other states in your nervous system it can choose from. One is called your dorsal vagal complex. So this is our state. So sympathetic, think of it like a cheetah running, like you're trying to run from a lion. Go, go, go. Everything is amped up. The porridge is too hot here. Now, we're animals, so all mammals have this nervous system. I think this next state I'm about to explain is so brilliant because think of like if a gazelle is running from a lion, okay? A gazelle's a prey animal, it's running. It's in its sympathetic system. But let's say its threat detector says, my love, the lion is close, and maybe it has even put its mouth on my neck. I don't think we can get away from this thing. This has gotten more dangerous. We can't fight this thing and we can't flee it. But what we can do is I can help you leave your body so you don't have to feel the perpetual pain of what we can't stop. I know that sounds kind of gruesome, but I have to tell you, when I learned about this as someone who dissociated, I was like, wow, people let me down. But you're telling me there's a nervous system inside of me that never let me down. It loves me so much. It loves the gazelle so much that it won't allow the gazelle to experience that pain as it's about to leave this world. It helps it to leave its body so it doesn't have to feel it. So this is called our dorsal vagal complex. And for those of you who had experiences where you were ongoing in an ongoing way, where you were not safe, and you couldn't get away and you couldn't make it stop, whether that's being experiencing racism, experiencing bullying in school, experiencing abuse or neglect at home. Our nervous systems say, like, I can't get out of here and I can't make this stop. So what we can do is begin shutting down so we don't have to feel it and be present to it. So think of this state like a bear going into hibernation. Everything is shutting down. So it's the opposite of that other state I just mentioned, where there's like everything's amped up. This is everything shutting down. So just to give you a sense of what do you experience here? Things like apathy. You know that feeling where you're just in a funk and someone's like, what do you want to do? You're like, I don't know. Doesn't matter. Nothing really matters. I don't care what I eat. I don't care what I do. Then you start to feel a little disconnected, a little like nothing's bringing me joy. My energy's low. And I start to feel a little removed and hopeless. I'm never going to find a partner. Everybody has a partner except for me. And there's something wrong with me. It's too late. I'm too old. I'll never be able to have a family. So there's a lack of agency here, all the way down to being depressed and then dissociated, which means I'm not fully here. I don't feel like I'm fully here. And so, this is a very common state that folks go into too. We might have, there's some folks who are avoiding their experience of their sensuality and their aliveness in their dating. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Well, they might actually really want to, but it's a protective response to push it away. Or let's say with that phone example, some of you, or you may have dated people like this, whom they let you close, but then all of a sudden they disappear. They shut down, they disappear, or maybe you shut down and disappear. That's your dorsal vagal complex coming online. Like, I can't even think, I shut down. There's like an invisible wall between me and them. And then we have one last state of self-protection. It's called freeze. A lot of people know this state. It's an equal parts of team sympathetic and team dorsal. So think of that like two equal and opposite forces coming together where you have lots of energy inside, but you're frozen. So it's a, I have to, but I can't think. Simple example is someone texts you and they're like, I really need to write back. No, I can't do that. It's too much. Like, you get a text from a family member that's overwhelming and you're like, I can't do that. I'll do it later. You keep thinking about doing it, but you don't do it. Or you keep thinking about starting that business and you're so anxious about, like, someone's going to take my idea, but no, it's too overwhelming. I can't do it, but I have to do it, but I can't do it, but I have to do it. You spend all day thinking about doing the thing. And instead you organize the junk drawer and you're like, holy shit, I didn't do the thing I really wanted to do. And it's been 5 years and I'm trying to do the thing. I can't do it. Or in a relationship, you want them close and you're like, they're so great. And then for some reason you push them away or pick a fight. And you're like, wait, why did I do that? Now that you're far away, I want you again. Come back. And you're close. And you're like, no, get out of here. That's our state of freeze. So as you can see, our nervous system is informing our relationships, but it's also informing our thoughts and how we feel. And it's certainly informing how we experience being single. And that's all being informed by that threat detector, or that threat detector, but also that database within each of us, if that makes sense.
Totally. 100%. And that database, like you said, sits inside of, it's our limbic system.
Yeah.
And it's not an exact match, but it's acts as if, like, looks like a duck, sort of. It's got a beak, must be the same. Let's deploy the same strategic plan immediately.
It's exactly what it does. And then it's, you know, it's why you have, I was working with someone a bit ago, and they said this publicly, so I can say it publicly, meaning on an Instagram live. They said, you know, I was with my partner, and I had food prepped, and I made this chili, and I put it in the fridge. And he came in and he ate the chili, and I got enraged. I was so angry. I was like, so I couldn't understand, why was I so enraged about the chili? And well, because it wasn't actually about the chili. When we did some work about it, around it, it was actually about her as a child who never got her needs met. And when she even tried to meet her own needs, it was taken away from her. So it's not about the chili. It's about her childhood. And so for us, doesn't mean, so not to let people off the hook, doesn't mean that things in our present lives might not be okay, but oftentimes they're being informed by something in the past.
Isn't that so interesting? And a side note question, it's something I think about a lot in my practice, is so much of the time we talk about what our parents did to us, right? And that's the little T or big T trauma. And that is incredibly relevant. You know, you have been through so much, and, you know, but as a mother of two kids that are 15 and 19, same uterus, same food, same house, two vastly different humans came out of the womb that way. So I talk a lot about attachment theory with my clients, but then when I become a consumer in my house, I'm like, but I've raised these two kids exactly the same way. But what I think I hear you saying is addressing the thing I think about a lot is we have a nervous system, and we're born with this nervous system. And to some extent, there is a genetic component to this. It's not just nurture. Nurture plays a big role. Okay.
Genetic wouldn't be the right terminology. I would say there is a physiological component based on epigenetics, for sure.
Okay. So, I love that. So that makes perfect sense to me. I love how you said that.
So based on that, and then also I would say, you know, we all have, I mean, whatever you want to call a soul, we're all a different fingerprint in the world. So that plays a part, of course, too. And then no one has an identical experience. It's not like if we were 50 people saw the same event happen, we would all have a different experience of the event, including what was happening to you during your pregnancy. What if was life stressful? Was it not stressful? Were you going through challenging things in your life or not? That directly affects the formation of the nervous system too. So there's all these variables. Even if we grew up in the same house with the same different things, it wasn't actually the same. So there's all of these different, also what happened in the hospital during the birth? Was the child a preemie or not? All of these things, pre and perinatal traumas are very real things. So there's just a multitude of variables that are part of how someone's nervous system gets shaped. And the beautiful thing is they can be reshaped.
Oh, I love that. And I'm sure, dear listener, every person listening to this, including me, is going, oh yeah, this is like spot on. And you think about how everything, we 50 different people are going to interpret one event in 50 different ways because we have 50 different operating systems, 50 different nervous systems. So is there something you can tell us that we can start to do that will help us regulate? Like if we say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm living, you know, I'm living a lot in dorsal, or I feel like I'm a combo of sympathetic dorsal, and I definitely want to get more ventral. Are there simple things we can do?
Yes. So a couple of things. The natural inclination that we all humans have is we like to put out fires, meaning when things are going really bad, we want something to fix it. So just natural human thing. But the thing, like I mentioned before about the special ops team, not to really hammer home this analogy, but they do not just get their mission. Like, I didn't just hand them a piece of paper and say, here's what you're going to do. You're going to jump out of the helicopter at 4 a.m. into the ocean, swim 15 degrees southwest or whatever. I don't even know how you do those coordinates, but you get what I'm saying. What do they do? They practice in safety again and again and again. Why do they do that? Because they're trying to create neural networks, or think of it like a reflex. Just like for you that drink, those of you who drink coffee, you don't have to think about it. You just go and make it in the morning because you've done it for 25 years or 50 years or whatever. I don't have to think about it. I could be a zombie and still do it. So that's called having strong neural networks for it. So when it comes to regulating our nervous system, what we want to do is we want to have daily what's called neural exercises. And think of a neural exercise, like if you were to lift weights, it's like a rep at the gym. So no one would do one lunge and be like, wow, my leg hasn't gotten bigger. What's wrong with me? You know, we'd say like, well, I don't know, you probably have to do them a little more frequently. And so the same goes with our nervous system. We need consistent neural exercises. So something that when I'm working with folks, we actually map your nervous system. You can do that. Create an actual map of your whole nervous system so you know where you are at any given moment. But for now, for listeners, I want you to ask yourself, am I in ventral? Ventral just means I feel here, present, what you would classify as good. Or do I feel not good? If you feel not good, you're dysregulated. And if you want to get curious, it's helpful to ask yourself, which of those three states am I in? Am I in the too hot state, too much, sympathetic? Am I in the too cold state or the shutdown state, dorsal? Or do I have a little bit of both? And then you're in freeze. So what we want to do is, I call them polyvagal check-ins. So throughout your day, what you want to do is, what I have invite people to do is put some reminders in your phone. So spread them out, maybe 5 a day, 10 a day, 15 if you want to be ambitious about it. And when the alarm goes off, your job is to just pause for a minute, check in with your nervous system and ask yourself, where am I right now? Where am I? Am I in that good place or not? And if you're in the not good place, or even if you're in the good place, our job is to regulate. Now, if you're in the not good place, meaning dysregulated in one of those three states, means your nervous system has decided that you're not safe. Now, if you are presently in safety, that means that it is essentially traveled time, and it is not in 2023 in July. It is back in time in 1974 or 1980 or whatever. It's in a different time. So our job, so I want you to notice that and say, oh, this feeling like I have to keep rushing in my work. I don't actually have to. Where did that come from? Oh, I learned that when I was a kid. I was a perfectionist, pardon me, whatever. Then what I want you to say is, okay, how do I show my nervous system right now that I am safe and I'm here? So what I invite folks to do is put together what I call a toolbox. And I want you to write down anything that registers as good for you. Anything at all. It could be, I go and put my feet in the grass and I enjoy that. Anything that supports you to feel more present. Could be, I go for a brisk walk. I listen to music and dance. I do some controlled breathing or swaying or humming or tapping or yoga. And I want to just give a couple quick therapeutic. So in my work, I give therapeutic somatic tools. And these are all ways we talk to our nervous system. Just a couple really quick ones. We can use our breath to bring us into regulation. So if you're in your sympathetic nervous system, that's the too much energy, or in the freeze state, a simple way to bring you closer to regulation is by having shorter inhalations through your nose and longer exhalations through your mouth. So a very simple breathing cycle is breathe in through your nose for 4 slow seconds, hold your breath for 7 seconds, and then exhale through your mouth for 8 seconds. Like you're blowing a candle out. That's very important on the exhale because we want to slow the breath down. So the count just for everybody listening would be inhale for 4, like 1, 2, 3, 4, hold for 7. 1, 2, and so on. And then exhale for 8. Very simple. Now, when you're in dorsal, we don't have any energy in our body. So we don't want to do the, what I just described, because that calms us. And instead we want to get some energy in. Really simple breathing cycle is two rapid, equal and in and out breath through your mouth. So just a couple like this. Doesn't have to be exacting, but a couple of breaths through your mouth, two, three, or four, and then rest and notice. Because what we're doing is we're bringing in some activation, some energy into our body, which is what we want when we're in that state. A couple other very simple things that you can do. Actually, I'll give just one more therapeutic tool, a sound. So our nervous system has nerve endings. So our autonomic nervous system, it goes through our entire body. It has, looks almost alien-like, nerve endings that touch every organ in your body. So when you're dysregulated, the nerve endings are going off saying danger, danger, danger. And one of the ways we can speak to the nerve endings is through certainly our breath. We can speak to them through sound and vibration, and also through touch on meridian lines. So if we make particular vibrational sounds, when these nerve endings are constricted, the vibration begins to loosen the nerve endings, which then communicates up to our brain, the coast is clear, we're actually safe. So I'm giving this preface of what the neuroscience is, because I know someone's going to be like, I got to turn this off. This woman's crazy, because she's about to tell me to make the craziest sound that I've ever heard. But this particular vibration brings regulation. So you can use this in any state. This comes from somatic experiencing and someone named Peter Levine's body of work. So it's a sound, voo, V-O-O. And what we want to do is make it in a low register, lower than our speaking voice. So I want you to imagine you're sending it down into your gut or your viscera and see if you can imagine the vibration. So we wouldn't want to do it from our chest like this. Boo. So that's a very high-pitched voice and it's all really up in my chest and my face. Instead, I want to make the lowest sound I can make, sending it to my gut, which is more like this. Boo. And you do the whole sound until there's no air left. So you take a medium, maybe as you're listening, try this out with me. Take a medium breath in and then just try to make the sound. And then we would complete until there's no air left. And then do it one to two more times and rest and notice. So that vibration will help talk to your nervous system and let it know we're safe. You can also do other sounds like OM, O-M. That sound is very helpful too. And by the way, when I just said swaying and tapping, I think this is all so intuitive. We've been doing this for thousands of years in chanting and tribes and being in communion and circle. And think about, you hold a baby. A baby's in distress. They're in dysregulation. What is the natural inclination of a human? To pick them up, to put them on your chest. Why are you putting them on the chest? Well, guess what? That's where your sympathetic nervous system lives. It lives in your chest and your mid back. So when you start to pat on a child's back, babe didn't know this. This is how intuitive this evolutionary response is. We start to sway and tap on their back. You're tapping on their sympathetic nervous system, and that swaying and tapping and maybe even humming regulates their nervous system. And so that simple act that I just did, you would be astounded at how powerful that is to do for yourself. When you do that, it will bring your nervous system into regulation. So your sympathetic system, all these different systems are in different parts of your body, but that's where your sympathetic system lives. So what I invite folks to do, it's very soothing, right? It's a very regulating act. So what I have folks do is you set these reminders to go off in your phone. And when the reminder goes off, your job is to ask yourself, where am I in my nervous system? Am I in ventral and regulated or not? And I just want to know where I am. Then I'm going to do something to regulate. So anything in your toolbox, or use one of the two tools I just gave you. And we could go on and on about many, many others. There's, hundreds of them, therapeutic ones. And then after you regulate, your job is to just notice, am I any more here than I was before? Am I any more present? The goal isn't that you regulate and you're like, wow, I feel like I'm in Fiji right now. That's not the goal. The goal is, or like, I just met the love of my life and I'm having the best orgasm I've ever had. Of course not. What we're looking for though is, do I feel a little bit more here? If I was in sympathetic and feeling anxious, do I feel a little bit less of that frenetic energy? So I want you to become a an investigator of small change. The more that you can see the small change and celebrate the small change, that is how you regulate your nervous system. Think about it. If I was paralyzed, let's say from the waist down, and I got in a terrible accident or something, I wouldn't be thinking about running a marathon today. If I did that, I would just perpetuate me being stuck. But instead, I would focus on, oh, I moved my toe today. That is so big. If I can move my toe, then I can move my foot. And if I can move my foot, I can stand. And if I can stand, I can walk. And if I can walk, I can run. And that's what it's like for our nervous system too. So the more that we can champion ourselves and say, I just did that. I was feeling that thing and I changed it. And it doesn't matter if it only changed a 1%. That 1% is what leads to a life in regulation. So the more you do this in a habituated way, what happens is all of the sudden you wake up and you feel different because the culmination of all these changes adds up. And I've worked with so many people who needed to take a Xanax just to leave their house to, through doing this, don't need it at all anymore, or would have social anxiety and just don't anymore. And there's no, it's not a mystical process. It's a scientific one that if we can stick to it, it will change our life. And then it changes how we relate to other people and certainly how we experience dating in our relationships.
I love everything you're saying. So let's say I'm going on a date and I'm a little bit nervous before my date.
Yeah.
What should I do in the Uber? Should I do the 4-7-8 breathing to bring myself down?
Yes.
And a little booing, a little booing.
And you should do the voo as well. And then the other thing is, there's something called anticipatory anxiety. So what usually matches our trauma of the past, right? Of I'm anticipating the bad thing happening. And that's your sympathetic nervous system trying to protect you. But when you're in the anticipation, you're not actually present. And in the anticipation, it actually exacerbates the anxiety. So when you notice that, I want you to tell yourself, oh, my nervous system is taking me to a future that isn't even real. I'm not here. I need to come back here. Nervous system, we are here and we are safe. So do the two tools I just gave you. But the other thing I want you to do is orient. And that means I want you to, and do the, you can do tap on your chest and do a sentential sway. Orienting is using all the senses you have access to let your nervous system know that you are here. So if you have the ability to see, I want you to see 5 details in that Uber or outside of it in detail, not, oh, it's a gray interior. No, detail. Like, oh, there's a really gross stain on the gray interior. See it. Then I want you to hear 5 sounds and I want you to touch 5 things. And your job when the thoughts are pulling you away is to bring yourself back as much as you can to the sensory experience of right now. When you do this, it takes your nervous system out of that catastrophizing future and into the present. And then one last thing.
I love that.
It's very, 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 very helpful. And then one last thing is our relationships are where our young parts show up the most, young parts of us. So I do parts work. We all have many parts. We are not just our adult selves. And we travel time all the time. So what I mean by that is we have this threat detector, right? Or this database. It's always looking for similarities. So when it comes to romantic partnerships, what it looks to as what it reminds it of is your family dynamic, your earliest experiences of love. So that means with your caregivers, whomever they were. And even if you're like, well, they didn't love me. Well, they were your example of what love is. So when you're going on a date, guess what happens? All of a sudden, adult Sarah might fly out the window because I'm thinking about dating and it's reminding me of maybe the first time I dated when I was 16 and how horrible that went or how I felt like I didn't belong or I wasn't worthy, or it's reminding me of my partner who cheated on me, or it's reminding me of my father who didn't show up for me or whatever. And in the moment, it's no longer adult capable me present. And then all of a sudden I feel scared, small, insignificant, like I don't have anything to offer, nervous, and all of the things that are not the powerful woman that I am. And we've all experienced that. There's for everyone listening, think of an area of your life where you feel really like adult you, capable, able, confident. It might be helping other people when you're volunteering in your work or whatever. And then I want you to think of another area of your life where you don't feel that. Whatever that is, usually that happens in relationships and other places too. That's a clue a younger part is present. So a simple thing I want you to ask yourself is, how old do I feel right now? Don't overthink it. Don't actually think about it at all. Just let a number come to you. Whatever number comes to you is right. And I would do this even before the Uber. Do this when you decide to go on the date or when you're getting ready. And part of parts work is we begin to come to the aid of that younger self via getting adult us present. So I want you to do something really simple. I want you to practice remembering one time where you felt capable and able. You felt like a powerful sequoia tree. You felt like the power of Mother Earth. You felt centered. You felt grounded. You feel like, I can do this and I am capable and I am able. And I want you to keep reliving that, like daily. Think of it like daydreaming. Go back to it and practice imagining being there. So close your eyes and bring yourself back to it. And then when you're in any situation that feels overwhelming to your nervous system and you feel small, scared, incapable, all I want you to do is I want you to bring to life the experience where you felt capable and able, where you felt confident, capable, able, powerful. Bring it to life in your body using all your senses. Remember what you felt in your body. Remember what you saw. Remember what your body posture was even like. And what that does is it helps to get adult you back online when a younger part is showing up or running the show. That's very important in relationship stuff.
Wow. You are doing God's work. So real, right? Bringing it down to such a useful way for people to change their lives.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, you know, for me, I was made to feel for most of my life like there was something so wrong with me. I was diagnosed with things like treatment-resistant depression and clinical anxiety disorder and, you know, like all the things. And I just thought, wow, I'm so messed up. And when I could see that neuroscience actually says that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, a dysregulated nervous system, for anyone who experiences dysregulation, especially if you've experienced it long-term, that is not a weak system. That is a powerful system. Think of it this way. What seems stronger to you? Somebody who's been running ultra marathons every day for 17 years or someone who's been sitting on the couch for 17 years? It would really be a no-brainer, right? So if you've been dysregulated, it's your nervous system's working. It's like a car running again and again and again and again. That's not weakness, it's strength. And if your nervous system can do that, if it can work hard to protect you for sometimes decades, it most certainly can rest. And it rests when we come into regulation. It wants to rest. It wants to be in regulation. It just doesn't know how. And it doesn't know that it's safe to. And so our job is to say, oh, my love, it is safe. And I'm going to show you how. And that's what somatic healing is all about.
How do people work with you for somatic healing? Tell us about that.
So I have lots of, it's really important to me that this work, as somebody who came from poverty, it's very important to me that it's accessible. So I've got lots of different options. First of all, I have totally free resources that I give almost daily on Instagram, at Sarah B Coaching, but I also have, many programs. So I have a program that's just focused on, understanding your nervous system, which is more entry and affordable. And then I have a holistic program that addresses attachment and addresses our parts and addresses our purpose. And that's an 8-week program called You Make Sense. And then I have another program that's open right now called Your Healing Toolkit, which is a 4-month small container of just 36 people. It's more accelerated process of really helping people to get where they want to go in a quicker way.
Amazing. And do you do one-on-ones?
I've paused my one-on-one practice about a year and a half ago. I might be, because I'm writing a book, but I might be opening up
amazing
soon. But you can get that through my Your Healing Toolkit program, individual work.
Oh, I love that so much. You are a miracle. Thank you so much for sharing these amazing, first of all, you've educated us, you've educated me, you've given us so many helpful tools, and to know there is a solution for all of that. And if that's not inspiring, what is?
Yeah, that's sure how I feel about it. So I'm glad that it resonated. And thank you so much for having me here today. It's just been such an honor to be with you and to be with everyone listening.
Now, the honor was all mine. Thank you again. And Smart Daters, as always, if this resonated with you, and it has to have, please go on there. Give us a rating. Tell us what you loved about it. Us podcasters, we need that. We want to do more of what you love. And so if you love Sarah, let me know, because then we'll have Sarah back again and again, because she is pretty magical. So with that, I wish you all a wonderful week. And as always, I can't wait to talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.